And as we amended the agenda, we'll go in reverse of how it's listed on the paper.
That is correct. That is correct, Mr. President. And for time's sake, I would suggest that we have the public hearings on all at the same time because they are related matters. However, when the council votes, it has to be done on an individual basis. So this is the time and place that is scheduled for a public hearing on proposed ordinances, an ordinance to establish the annual service charge, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charge for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 2, also for an ordinance amending the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2012 to incorporate projected revenues and expenditures from the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 1, and we also had the matter of assessment rules for Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 1. Ms. Susan Webb, the Financing Director of the county, will briefly explain the ordinance and the purposes to be accomplished by it. After she has completed that presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask questions in order to clarify their understanding of the proposed ordinances. After that process has been completed, I will open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this ordinance, you are required to make the statement from the speaker stand. Before making your statement, please state your name and give your home address. If there's multiple people speaking on the matter, as we do for zoning hearings, we ask you not to repeat things that may have already been said. However, it's simply okay. I agree with the previous speaker. I support those same comments that have been made just for time's sake. So you don't repeat necessarily the same things. At this time, Ms. Webb, would you like to explain the ordinances?
Thank you. On Tuesday, March 20th, there were two ordinances for introduction on the Oak Orchard Sewer District. One was to set the rates for the sewer district, and the other one was to amend the budget because we are in the middle of a budget year. The Oak Orchard project is 790 EDUs. The estimated projected average annual rate at the time of introduction in 2007 was $1,155, which included a service charge of $289 and an average front foot charge of $866. However, the actual cost of the project, we are pleased to say, came in lower, about 37% lower than projected. The actual average annual rate would be $731, with the service charges being $254 and the 100-foot average of $477. And that's due to the timing of this project. It took advantage of the benefit of the ARRA stimulus program in the forms of grants and reduced bond interest rate. The contracts were bid at a time that it was very competitive. The O&M rate, the operation and maintenance charge, which is a service charge on the sewer, was anticipated to grow faster than it did grow. However, since then, the uniform rate has been in place, and the connection fees are funded within the project. So there will be no charge for the connection fees at the time of connection for this project right now. And the budget just follows through. The ordinance for the budget just incorporates these rates into a budget that takes us from today, April 17th through June 30th, and then we'll start again on July 1st.
Okay. Are there any questions from council of Ms. Webb? And was there, Mr. Izzo, did you have anything to add as well, or?
The only thing I'd like to add is, assuming everything goes as proposed today, we would send out letters tomorrow announcing connections can begin to the district.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we'll open the public hearing or allow the public to participate. If anyone would like to participate, if you would come forward, give us your full name and address before speaking. Is there anyone that would like to speak, sir?
Seems like I'm a regular here. Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. My name is Edward Funk. I live in Captain's Grant. I can't thank you enough on behalf of Captain's Grant for that great news. It was The impact fees were waived, and you don't know how much that means to all these people. I have a question on one thing I'm not familiar with, is the water in and water out. I know we're paying now for sewer, which is on, the water fees that are coming in on a meter. Now we'll be paying for another meter with water out. Am I right on that? So there's going to be two meters? All right, that's what I want the question about, and I want to find that out. And I hope we can finally finish this whole contract that's been issued before the County Council. I know it's been a catch-22 for both of us, and you can't imagine, it'd probably be a celebration in the whole community regarding this event. So I can't thank you enough, and we hope we'll see the end of this thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
For the record, I would like to state when the question was asked, Mr. Izzo had indicated that there would not be two meters. Is that correct, Mr. Izzo?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Also, for the record, the connection fees were not waived. They were funded with the grant in the project. So we had funds that were available to fund the connection fees, but they were not waived. They we were able to do that within the project. Okay, we're just not charging them at this time.
I've seen some other hands up. You can just come on up to the front and give us your full name and address, please.
My name is Patrick Eady. I live at 27459 Oak Meadows. I was wondering why we had fire hydrants in our development and none of the other developments have fire hydrants, and I understand that we're paying a charge for, you know, that's well over $1,000 a year, and I'd like to know if, you know, when they're going to be paid for. If we do have to pay for these fire hydrants, I mean, do we pay this the rest of our life, or, you know, when are they going to be paid for, and how come none of the other developments have fire extinguishers or fire hydrants, as far as I know?
Mr. Russo, address
that. That's a water question and not a sewer question, but I'll go ahead and try to answer it. Your development has central water. They use the fire hydrants for two purposes. One, it provides fire protection if there is a fire in the community. Secondly, they use it as a flushing mechanism for the water system itself. I'm assuming if the other developments do not have fire hydrants, and I know there are some of them, then they're not on central water. Those communities would have individual wells.
But this, just so we're all clear on this, the water, the payment they're making for fire hydrants or water has nothing to do with the county. We're not in the water business.
That is correct. I think they charge, if they provide a proper fire hydrant that has the quantity of water and the pressure to provide fire suppression, then you pay a premium versus a development that might have a fire hydrant in there, but there's not proper pressure and there's not proper quantity that a fire truck could hook up to it. In that case, it's only used as a flushing mechanism. Expert on it, but I believe that is a difference.
Wouldn't you also possibly have lower fire insurance rates being close to a hydrant?
If it is a working fire suppression hydrant, you should get a discount on your homeowner's insurance.
That's good.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak concerning the ordinances we have today, sir?
Name is William Elmer. I'm from River Village. I need a clarification on what Ms. Webb said because I can't hear too good. You said it was $477 fee for hookup. And then you said there was no price for the impact.
The $477 is the average front foot charge. That's your annual charge for your contribution for building the system. That's just an average.
Annual charge?
Yes. The actual breakdown is $2.96 for distribution and collection and $1.81 for transmission and or treatment per front foot. So we have a 100-foot cap, so that's why we use the average when we talk about the rates. But it individually is $4.77.
It's $4.
Yes, per front foot, what I was speaking
of. So it'd be $477. Annually, they'd be split into quarters?
It depends on what your front footage is. What your front footage is would then be multiplied by the $4.77. So you could be under 100 feet but we have a cap on the 100 front foot.
So that, but I mean, that would be broken down into the quarters, that 477.
Yes,
so it would be $100 and some a quarter.
Generally, yes.
Okay. And so there's no impact fee?
Not charged to the resident. It's going to be paid for within the project.
You just yes. made a lot of elderly.
And we had anticipated $3,300.
And you have made,
fee.
I'll step on top of you talking, but thank God for little favors. You made a lot of people very, very happy.
Well,
in
conjunction with the engineering department and the hard work they do to put these projects out at the time that they did it, which we were doing many other districts, to get the advantage of the competitiveness, bringing the project lower, and then working with ARRA at the time it was offered, we were able to do this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You get my praise and you get my vote.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So it is a team effort.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Katie Parker from 27523 Oak Meadow Drive in Oak Meadows. The $731, what was that?
That's going to be what the $731 is, what an average annual rate would be with the rates, which is made up of the $254 service charge.
Okay.
Plus the $477 front footage. If you're exactly 100 front feet, you'll be either more or less.
Okay, so the $731 is a total amount.
What is a total average annual bill versus $1,155, which we anticipated in 2007, would be your total average annual bill. We can only speak to averages, as each individual has a different front footage to be charged on.
We also had questions by some of our homeowners that have, like, two lots. One they have a garage on, and one they have their home. Now, would they pay this for both lots?
Is Patty Utility, Mike can speak to that. I know if you...
Yeah, if you have two, if those lots are recorded as two separate building lots, you have your single-family home on one, you're going to pay this fee that... Susie just alluded
731.
To. On the other one, you're not going to pay a service charge because you're not getting sewer service to your garage. At least I assume you're not.
Okay.
But you would be subject to pay the front footage because at some time in the future you could still build a home on that lot. You could, in theory, combine those into one lot. So you would have just one single building lot. And
then
some
you would
folks,
still be charged on the number of feet.
But you would be capped at 100 feet, so there is an opportunity for savings there. But you would have to be very serious about it only being one building lot forever.
Okay.
And that 100-foot cap is an annual budget decision that is funded in the budget.
Okay.
That we make year to year. It's been the practice for...
So,
several years now.
So it could go up, you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
It could, depending on the budget
right.
and what the administration decides, just so you know, it is an annual budget decision. It could go up, could go away. I mean, it could be anything, yeah. That's what it is right now.
Okay, well, that was my question. Thank you very much.
Patty Falls, the Director of Utility Building. Could I just clarify one other thing on the 100-foot cap? Is since there are so many of our customers here,
mm-hmm.
we have made them so happy, I want to try and keep them that way. It's very important that you are current with your taxes
right.
and your sewer to be eligible for that 100-foot cap discount, not based on income or anything else, but you do have to be current, and I just want to make that.
That is an important point.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in this matter? Sir?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Robert Davis. I live at 32548 West James Court and Captain's Grant. I was up here once before when we came up, and we complained about what was happening to our development. And as of today, there's still a mess in there. Now, I know Mr. Rizzo here is here, but it's still a mess. They're going around putting stuff on this where the off the roads. They're throwing it in, but it's still rock underneath. The road's higher than it was. It's a drop-off point. People walk off and they twist their ankles. Who's going to be liable for it? Is the council? Mr. Rizzo? I've had him, stopped him on the street and showed him where the water is coming up to my girlfriend's house because the swales are not fixed properly. I've been going after them, and the rest of the people here from Captain's Grant's been after them. Nothing's getting fixed the way it was, as we were quoted and told. And I had the mounds of sand in the back of my house banging on the trucks at 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. Now, how I got them to stop? I threatened to call the state police. Because nobody came up and told us they're going to be doing that project. They were given permission to do it out in front of our development. Now, this is what I've gone through for the last year and a half. And some of the other people here that live down where the sand piles were. The sand start rolling into my backyard. We had to call them out and say something. This was supposed to be an easy job. Clean. The roads are higher than they were. The manholes were never leveled off. They were already dug up around them so you could fix them. These are the new roads. This is a project that has not gone right. And you call them up, and nothing's getting done. I'm sorry I'm yelling, worried about it, but this was a nice development when I moved down here 3 years ago. And we have got no satisfaction on it. And I don't feel bad about being up here saying it.
You should come say it.
Because at least when I came from Pennsylvania, when I came in the council and all that, stuff got done. Down here, you call people on it and all that, nothing's getting done. So that's all my statement I want to say, because as far as I'm concerned, I didn't want the sewers to start with. But I've gone through and I have solar panels on my roof. I was worried about them from the sand. I got rid of my truck because it was pitted because of all the sand that we've had. Everybody's gone through it. And as we came up and told you at the beginning of this project, nothing's ever been done. I sent a letter to the governor. He never got it, but Beau Biden did. So I don't know what that means to everybody. But I think we all have taken a bunch of crap for nothing from this whole project. So when you sit up here talking about putting the sewers in, we're not even back the way we were. You go and look out in the streets where the manholes are, they're so far down in, they're filled with blacktop right now. I don't know if they're going to fix that some year, but they're pulling the equipment out little by little. The project, it should have been done properly, but never was. But we have made phone calls. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak, sir?
Morning, Council. My name is Dale Thornton. I live at 32656 West Carteret Court in Captain's Grant. As part of this sewer project, our roads were resurfaced. They had to be because they dug them up to put the pipes in. In the process of resurfacing these roads, there's a curve coming into the development that the road is actually narrower on the curve than it is on the road coming to the curve and out of the curve. Cars can get around that curve without running off the road. But we have school buses that come in, and they have a very long wheelbase. They cannot make that curve without having either the front wheels or the back wheels run off the asphalt into the dirt. Just a matter of time before that dirt goes away and the school buses start falling down in a swale. Our vice president at one time spoke with one of the engineers. I spoke with another one of the engineers. Nothing's been done about this narrow spot of the road. Now, when the project's all done and everybody packs up and goes away and all the money's allocated, we're stuck on the road that the school buses are going to still run off, the back wheels run off. They run off by about a foot and a half on each side. That's the only item I have, and I'm hoping that somebody can address this and get it squared away before the project is completely wrapped. Thank you very much, Council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there
anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone else like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time we'll close the public hearing, and the if it's the desire, we can read the short titles to act on this.
We will close the public hearing, close public comment.
The first one, they need to be voted separately. The first is an ordinance establishing the annual service charge, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charge for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 1.
We need a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Second. Deaver. Questions on the motion? Mr. Phillips?
Yes. Mr. Izzo, is there going to be enough money to fix these roads properly?
Yes, there is still touch-up work going on, but the roads themselves are paved. They're better than what pre-existed. We checked out Mr. Thornton's complaint. The road is actually wider now than it was at the pre-existing condition because we measure those type of things. We videotape the entire community before we go in. There still is some touch-up work to be done, but it's very minor at this point.
How wide is that road where that bend is, where the school bus runs off?
It was I'm going to have to call on my memory, but it was 20 to 22 feet.
That's wide. That's what it all says.
How about the drop-off that he mentioned?
I have met with Mr. Davis on many occasions, and we don't seem to be able to come to an agreement. I think there is minimal drop-off, and it's not a significant issue.
I heard him mention. I'm sorry, are you done?
Well, he mentioned the manhole.
Yeah, we have manholes and blacktop on top of them.
I have to, but that's the first time. What it is the common area, the streets and right-of-ways, are controlled by the Homeowners Association. So we work with the Homeowners Association, filter out, and work on their specific complaints. Mr. Davis is making a complaint as an individual, so his point of view may be some different than the point of view of the Homeowners Association, who owns and operates the rights-of-ways. I'm not sure what this manhole situation is he's referring to. I'll have to investigate that.
Mr. Moore, whose district is this? Mr. Coles?
Mr. Coles.
Yeah, maybe he can slip down and take a look at it.
Yeah, I'd be glad to take anyone through to look at it. We can show you the before videotape and the after videotape.
My neighborhood, I want to see it too.
Any more questions from council? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
Next is an ordinance amending the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2012 to incorporate projected revenues and expenditures from the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 1.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And next, Mr. Moore.
And the third, I believe, is not an ordinance. Is that correct?
Yes, it is an assessment roll. We do that by motion, and the assessment rolls are the records held by the utility billing department, the front footage, and the EDUs, which support our billings, and this will be for the period of April 17th today through June 30, 12th, our budget year, at which time we will adopt another one. And I have a motion to be read.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that based on the recommendations of the county engineer and county finance director and for the reasons stated during the public hearing, the Sussex County Council hereby adopts the assessment rolls for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Expansion Number 1 as presented on April 17, 2012 for the period April 17, 2012 to June 30, 2012.
Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
And that should conclude the public hearing. We'll now go back to Mrs. Webb for banking services.
Okay. today. We have the two very important people from the accounting department represented, Gina Jennings and Louise Thompson, and they did a wonderful job on the RFP for banking services. As we know, the banking climate has changed in the last 5 years, and we need to make changes ourselves to stay in touch and to realize what's going on with our finances and our banking. As an example, one of our largest banks just did not even bid on our RFP for banking services. They're dropping all interest on our accounts. They dropped their government branch. So that just goes to show you, whereas 5 years ago, we got great interest rates on our CDs, the competitiveness. The banks wanted the deposit money. We can't even get a bid on a CD. They don't want your deposit money. What they want are your services through remote deposit or lockbox accounts. So that's what we need to focus on. We need to take a look at what's out there in terms of banking and our new ERP system and how we can mesh the two to get the most advantage for the county. Because our objective is to determine which bank can offer the highest quality of service with the most reasonable cost and the lowest risk and the best interest earnings that we can make, so we maximize our interest earnings with our idle cash while minimizing our service charge, basically. So we did an RFP for banking services, and that is in your packet, the evaluation and the memo that discusses what we were looking for banking services. It's important for us to have compatibility with an ERP system. Currently, we probably have over 70 individual bank accounts, although only two major banks do we use. We want to combine all the accounts that we can legally when we are not restricted to have an open account so that the ERP system is very efficient, closing as many accounts as we can for the accounting system. That's 70 less that we reconcile. There's just so many efficiencies that we want to take advantage with the accounting system. For instance, remote deposits and lockbox is one of the things that we are looking for in a banking service that keeps the efficiencies out of our office and onto the bank, where we're taking advantage of the computer software. Of course, they have banking services now that minimize fraud risk. It improves our accounting efficiency. We have more banking options due to the change in the banking environment, and with dealing with one bank, it does maximize our funds. And the other important item with the county is we want to make sure our investments are not at risk at all. Our cash is not at risk at all. So the collateralization of our funds is very important. At what bank can provide enough collateral for the funds that we have invested there? In the memo, we had proposals, as you see, from M&T Bank, Fulton Bank, WSFS, and PNC Bank. Citizens Bank, one of the largest banks that we've ever dealt with and that held a lot of our deposit funds, did not even reply to the RFP. So that just goes to show you how things have changed. And it had come down to basically the best interest earnings on our money with the lowest service charge at who could collateralize the funds that we need to be collateralized so they were not at risk at all. And through the analysis, we feel we want to continue all our banking services, move forward with M&T Bank. They are local. We've dealt with them before. They already have a big portion of our funds anyway to begin with.
M&T.
Okay. They've been very good to work with. Their references were good. And as we move forward with the ERP system and some of our bank accounts that we're going to need to change around, I'll be back with resolutions and if going into services when the ERP system goes online for the accounting system, we'll be back to update you. And I'd like to thank Louise Thompson and Gina Jennings. They did an excellent job in putting together this RFP and doing the analysis. It's not easy when you're dealing with all different banks and coming down to particular specifics to what separates one bank out from another. But that's what we're recommending today, is to move all our banking services with M&T.
Okay. Do you have a motion?
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve moving all banking services to M&T Bank.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion?
I have a question.
Mrs.
What
Deaver.
What is the risk in doing that?
Well, the risk to the funds, there is no risk to the funds because we are collateralized at 102%. And what that means when I say collateralized is not only is the money in the bank, but it's also backed by U.S. securities at 102%, depend because they could have market value. So there's no risk to the funds. M&T is a big bank. They have a wonderful rating.
I can see the points that they got,
yeah,
they got most points.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't, the other banks did not offer enough collateral. Mm-hmm. So we would be back to separating it out again and then not getting the best bang for our buck because we couldn't leave it uncollateralized.
Sure. Any more questions, Mrs. Webb? Now we'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Webb. And thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Yes.
And thank you, Mrs. Thompson. Hal Godwin, wastewater agreement, Americana Bayside, Phase 5.